Hi there, this is Mike Quinn. You'll know me as Nine Numb in Star Wars, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Episode 333 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Matt Casale, and welcome to part two of our All Things Toys extravaganza episode. The episode so big we couldn't fit it into one single episode. We had to break it up into two. Guys, I promised at the end of the last episode that this was the one you don't want to miss. We are going to get right into the insanity with Jeremy Canals. Here we go.
So what else happens in the Canals?
All right, the Canals verse. I used to literally do this shit. Again, I was an only child. Okay, so in the later years of toy playing, we'll say towards the end, we'll say like fifth, sixth,
19,
grade,
17 years old.
Last year. But I would literally make entire movies. Like, all right, today's movie is going to be 2 hours, and I would literally set the clock up. Insanity.
This is insanity.
All right. And I would have the shit set up before I started the clock. Like, I'd have the Micro Machine City set up over here. Like, the whole basement we covered with my movie set. Okay. And so everything would intertwine by scale by the shot of the movie. Like,
this is
so
insane.
Like, the big car scenes, I would go to the Micro Machines. And so they go the whole way over across the city, which would then turn into the Matchbox cars when you got closer in.
Oh, good. This is a close.
Oh, I'm dead. That's how I did all this shit. That's what I'm. When I listen to you guys talking about the toys one night, I'm like, I don't think they're as crazy as I was about fucking toys.
Nobody was.
I don't think.
Like, this is the reason why we're doing this is for.
Just get it off my chest.
Director of photography, Jeremy Canals.
I don't think anyone did this.
I swear to you.
I don't think Quentin Tarantino did this.
Major shit. Like, I'd have it. It would take me probably an hour just to preset it all up. Like, and I would not have a plot. I would not have a script or nothing. I'd be like, just look at the clock. Like, all right, ready, go. And I would just come off from the top of my head. Like, and I would do a whole movie, like opening scene, ending scene, in between. Like I said,
I think
use
you
scale.
Should do that now, and we'll film
and
it
and actually film it. You know, you had everything else but the camera.
I used to videotape myself a lot. Like I said, I was an only child, so I used to always be videotaping myself, like doing skits from like Saturday Night Live and shit like that. So I was always like putting on productions of sorts.
Yeah.
But like everything worked together. I would make Ninja Turtles work into this shit. I would make so like literally at the end of my toy playing, all I had left was the best shit. Like, all the stuff that I liked, like all the rest of the characters that you don't like, their arms are missing or half melted because, you know, if you light somebody on fire, they make these sounds like pew, pew, like dripping wax.
So would you do that shit? Would you light your, like, I'm not a pyromaniac. Like, I don't light stuff on fire. I don't blow stuff up.
Oh,
so you'd like
firecrackers inside the crevice of the G.I. Joes. When you pull them apart, you could put firecrackers in there, but those would be part of the movie. Like, that would be like, all right, now we got to go for the Technics, and I'd go outside and I would melt army men, like the plastic.
Yeah, those little
joys.
Yeah.
So when you light them on fire, like they'll drip plastic and they'll make a sound like pew, pew, like each one, pew, each drip. So I would use that, like
you were your own Foley artist,
like I said,
you did all of this, but with not recording
in my head. I was recording it like completely by myself too. Like, there was nobody there. It was just me in the basement doing it.
Dude.
Like, I'm talking, I'd have shit shut up and I'd be shooting rubber bands like it was part of the scene. Like, it was just nuts.
Dude.
So, like, I had...
I played with my toys.
That's amazing.
That's what I'm trying to get at you.
I had quite a bit of, like, I don't want to say quite a bit, but I had some toy destruction in my time, but never for the arts.
Yeah, like this was
for the scene.
This was the scene. This was a masterpiece. Like, how many times did you construct this? Like, too many times to count.
Oh, way too many times. Yeah. I mean, I would draw backgrounds and shit, dude.
So who?
Dude.
I'm dead serious. I made my own complete role-playing game around this time. Like, my own D&D. Like,
yeah.
I made the whole world, like, every character. I had all these maps, so when you got to certain points, like, then I'd roll a dice for this certain... Like, I made up the entire world.
Do you have any...
language.
Do you have any of this shit?
I cannot find any of it.
Yeah.
That's a hand. I'm sure it's hard because moving around.
Jared, this is terrifying.
Yeah, it's
kind of... Like,
well, I've known you forever, and you've never fucking told me.
This is...
I wanted to design video games. It's what I've always wanted to do. So, like, it all kind of intertwines. Like, I'd create stories and backgrounds. That's what I want to do, is I want to design backgrounds for video games. Not the actual video game.
That sounds boring as fuck, Jared.
That's my shit, you know?
Did you partake in edibles when you were 9 or something? Yeah.
No. That didn't start till 13.
Yeah.
Stop playing with the toys.
You know, when you were talking about your fucking insanity there, it reminded me. I did do some toy crossover stuff as I got a little bit older. I had this premise where there was a TV station, and at the TV station there were all these different shows. So, like, you could have your He-Mans thing, and then. Then my Roger Rabbit toys would be on another episode.
That's kind of what I was doing. Like, so I would have somebody turn into a Ninja Turtle. You know, and make a G.I. Joe would.
The melting
army man would hit him, and then he would become Michelangelo for the rest of the movie.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean.
It allowed for like everything to work together.
Mm-hmm.
The president of my TV station was Eddie Valiant of Roger Rabbit fame, because he wore
the
brown...
You mean like Eddie Valiant, like the detective?
Yeah, because he had a brown suit and a fedora.
Is that Bob Hoskins?
Yes, and he looked the most professional, you know, more than He-Man. Could you imagine He-Man running
the... Do you think He-Man doesn't look professional?
I mean,
that's
not,
real
not
buffalo
in the business
on that
world.
Loincloth.
Right. He-Man shows up for a job interview wearing the loincloth
and just a tie.
I'll tell you what.
Matching the loincloth, too.
I wish the Nazis hadn't ruined the Iron Cross so He-Man could still have the traditional logo on his chest. Because now they always
He-Man came after.
To get it away from the Nazi Iron Cross.
But He-Man came after.
But in the 80s, no one gave a shit, but now everyone's more sensitive.
I think people gave a shit.
Now when they make a He-Man figure, he doesn't have the traditional Iron Cross on his
swastika.
Chest. Now it always has to have extra points.
The traditional He-Man swastika.
Look, I'm on board with not making any more General Lees, okay? But, like, I don't think that He-Man chest design, maybe it's just me, but, like, I don't associate that with
I step
Nazis.
Out for 10 minutes and...
We're talking about... He-Man's business breasts. Attire and how it's inappropriate for him to wear the Iron
because
Cross to a job
turns out Matt's just a little less crazy than Jer, and like he constructed a whole TV station so that his toys could interact with each other.
Because
the president of the TV station was
Eddie Valiant
from
Who Framed
Roger Rabbit.
Because he had a suit.
And he looked more professional than, say, He-Man. Who couldn't possibly run a TV station in that outfit.
Either. I like how we started the universe talk with, I was like, yeah, you know, the fucking Crimson Guard with stormtroopers. And we got all the way to here.
Into the depths. The bowels of...
You know what? You know, I'm changing gears a little bit. You know what I ended up doing in order to get all the toys I ever wanted for Star Wars, because there's so many different characters and ships? We started coming up with paper toys. So we would draw all the ships, and we tried to keep it to scale. And I'm using air quotes because, you know, we like the idea of having these tiny little characters. But, like, the ship, you know, the Millennium Falcon would be, like, the size of a pancake or something. And then a Star Destroyer would be maybe like the size of three pancakes. Yeah, our scale was a little off, but you get my drift. It was kind of weird. You really had to like flex your imagination muscles a little bit.
I can see like that's no moon. It's three pancakes.
I would love a 3/4 inch figure scale Millennium Falcon. Just big as fuck. Like it would be probably as big as that USS flag, which is still like considered like the biggest toy ever.
Well, I always remember our good friend from art school, Jamie Tyne, aka Honky, had the Toys R Us exclusive, like the it wasn't a toy, it was part of the
it was their display.
The
feature probably would have been about that size.
And he was able to get it, and it was
Falcon that was hanging.
It was hanging in his room. And it was gigantic as fuck. Yeah.
It was what you're talking about. It was the same mold as the original, like, 77 Millennium Falcon. It was just gigantic.
It was, like, three times the size. Yeah,
so that was probably... Because, like, I always think about it is... So, the original Falcon toy, you could only fit two people in the cockpit. But that one was probably big enough to fit... like 4 to 6 people.
Like I feel more than that. Like I feel like I sat in that thing. Yeah, it was gigantic.
I remember when it was hanging when you walked in that apartment when they lived. Where did he live?
In Sharpsburg. It was Shug and Jamie and
when you
and,
walked in, yeah. It was hanging right there. When you walked in, I was like, holy fuck.
It was
the first time I seen it. Like
it was really impressive. I don't even know how he got a hold of that display thing.
I don't know how he got it on the ceiling.
I want to ask you guys a question. What is your most disappointing toy?
Ooh,
like the toy that you wanted to be better than it was.
Damn, man, you can't unload that. Why don't you go first? Because I imagine you have it, and then
I got it.
We can all think about it.
Wait, wasn't there something we talked about before between takes? Like one
I'll go
two
second
tonight. That
I don't know. Do you got? I mean, I got it now. But what do you want to do? Do you have it, Paul? Go ahead.
I don't have Matt's answer, but before we started recording, you started asking a question about, oh, Jer had this idea for this, and then we were like, save it for the podcast, save it.
I forget. We'll...
And I was like, do we need to know this ahead of time, or can we just jump in?
I don't remember. Matt, why don't you go answer your own question?
For me, it would be the Willow action figures. Because
no fucking duck.
Jesus Christ. Ian was waiting at McDonald's for that cup.
Ian.
Oh, no.
What was wrong with the Willow figures?
They couldn't fucking move.
They were statues.
They
came on pedestals. They had
stunk so fucking bad.
And they only made like 8 of them because it was so unpopular. And it should have been so much bigger and more awesome.
Yeah.
Worst
I feel like I had that
figures
whole,
ever.
Because they had like... 8 or 12 of them or whatever. I feel like I had that whole line and I was like, I don't know if I can play this. Like
a friend of mine, several years ago now, gave me for Christmas one year, he gave me the Willow still on the card. Which well hey, if you're not gonna play with it anyway, which you can't even if you open it.
I'm looking here.
There's
Matt.
8, right?
Did they eventually make ones that could move?
No. They only came out with that initial line.
Yeah.
8, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Wait, without even looking, Willow, Mad Mardigan, Sorsha, Queen Bavmorda, the midget wizard, I forget what his name was.
Wow. Offensive.
Little person.
High the Aldwin? Little High Aldwin. Death Dog. Generic good guy.
How are you 7 characters in?
Yeah,
and General Kale is not one of these fingers.
Oh, yeah, and General Kale. and then...
Rebel Trooper is one.
The 8th one would be the bad guy, the generic bad guy soldier.
No. Yeah, generic bad guy. And Eric. Remember Eric?
And Eric.
Watched it, too.
Eric.
After you said Willow... I was like,
Mad Mardigan.
Then General Kell. Then General Kell.
I was like, I didn't even know there were that many characters in the fucking movie. The most disappointing is like Death Dog. Like, get the fuck out of here with that.
No, I think the generic bad guy soldier is just so like he wasn't even in the movie. They were just like, it looks like he could have been in the movie.
Dude, I had all these motherfuckers, right? Like, and I tried my damnedest to play Willow with them, and it sucked. Damn
the rubber wrestling toys were more fun than these.
Mad Monaghan's coming. Remember? Just give him a sword. Oh, it's glued to his body.
You know what I did? I eventually cut those plastic things off so I could release them from the stands, so they felt closer to action.
I didn't have.
You know what, Matt? I think I did that same thing.
Like, yeah, I don't remember these. I haven't looked them up. I didn't see your screen when you turned it around. Like, I have no recollection of these.
I don't
because
feel like
I probably saw them and I was like, oh, I saw Willow as a kid. I love Willow. Willow's
like
a great movie.
I like remember Willow's being at McDonald's for some reason.
I think I
love
Willow.
Probably were these fucking pieces of shit.
I love Willow more than I love Goonies. So, but I'm pretty sure I saw these figures and I was like, wait, they're statues? I'll get some Centurions or some that those shit with the holograms on their chest.
Visionaries, right?
Yeah,
visionaries.
I got
cool.
Because
I don't remember
visionaries
that.
Were
that
G, they no. were essentially G.I. Joes with they had a clip-on hologram on their chest, and their hologram was their like animal power.
I gotcha. Hold your fucking horses.
Yeah, all those Willow figures, I have no recollection.
Like Willow came at the same time as like Dick Tracy, right?
See,
no,
that's
Willow
another
was way earlier.
Willow
was
88. Dick Tracy was
Willow
90.
Was like a maybe a year or two earlier.
I remember it being like
say.
The same time.
Would you say
Dick
Matt,
Tracy was
88 and 90?
Willow was 88. Dick Tracy was 90.
Yeah, yeah. So, but in like kid years, it was 10 years.
Yeah. Oh well, yeah. By the time 88 rolled around, I was already balls
okay.
deep into Kirk Gibson's starting lineup figures.
So, did you guys get Dick Tracy stuff? Did you guys like Dick Tracy?
I did. Dick Tracy
I love Dick Tracy.
I did. I thought Dick Tracy. I like drawing all those characters from the movie and
yeah,
shit.
Like yeah, yeah. Like I remember in that time frame, they re-released the cartoon for a while. There was a Dick Tracy cartoon from the 1960s that looked like shit, but still, it was some more Dick Tracy stuff. And I remember reading Dick Tracy in like the Sunday papers because they re-released
where,
it at that
this
time.
This is where the 2 year gap.
You didn't like
the
Tracy, buddy?
Because
that
I was
like
already phasing out.
That movie was
out.
Huge.
And
yeah.
Now that you
plus,
know,
cool
Matt,
shit,
you say,
colors, you know,
Willow
yeah,
was.
I'd like to watch it again.
Very
just to
vibrant.
Figure it out. I'm sorry. Sorry.
My bad.
We're having now, two podcasts.
Now that you say Willow was 88 and Dick Tracy was 90, then that's probably why I don't remember those Dick Tracy or the Willow figures because I was already transitioning.
Paul
out
aged
by
in
then.
Dog years. He aged in devil dog years and just.
But I still got a bunch of the first run of Ninja Turtles figures, which were right around that time. But like I definitely didn't get Willow. I wasn't into Dick Tracy either.
Well,
I think
Willow was before Turtles.
By 88, I was already transitioning into.
He was getting a divorce in 1988.
I was already
so.
Like playing sports, and I was more into sports, and like that took
yeah,
up
but Paul,
more of my focus.
Willow was like 2 or 3 years before the Turtles were like. A thing,
I know, and like I
which
mentioned earlier,
when you think
turtles
it, like,
were
my
last.
Put it that way,
yeah. Turtles were my last vestige of. I feel like I tried getting the turtles
probably
because
were my last too.
I love the turtles. I love the show, but and I love action figures, and I got them. But while I was getting them, I was like, I'd rather go play baseball.
See, yeah, I still don't think, like, I don't think that I ever sort of, like, stopped getting toy. Like, there was a period where I didn't get a lot, but because of my connection to comic books, that's whenever,
plus
like,
you
when,
worked at Toys R Us.
Yeah, yes.
Like,
so,
shit,
like,
I,
it was right
I'd
in my face.
I'd buy toys, if I still worked at, I'd still be buying toys.
So I would be like, oh, there's a Metal Gear toy. Well, that's very
yeah,
adult.
But there's a difference between yeah. buying and collecting versus yeah.
buying
playing with
play.
It. And I wanted to ask that question because I know when I hit that wall, like where I felt like an idiot.
I remember
stuff,
too. Yeah, go ahead.
And I like playing with toys was my favorite thing. Like, I liked playing with toys more than I liked watching shows or whatever. That was, like, I think I liked that even better than drawing as a kid. But there came a time when it just felt really stupid. And I didn't like it. I was like, this is, like, not fun. There were two things in my life that, like, just weren't enjoyable anymore as a kid. One was, like, I realized playing with toys is kind of lame.
And being an altar boy.
Number two was Sesame Street was really, like, stupid, too. I was like, what? Why would I like this? I can remember watching it and being like, this is
like,
not good
I didn't
anymore.
Like Sesame Street enough.
I still watch Sesame Street and enjoy it.
Well, you have a kid.
Well,
that's
I'm
different.
Saying I, like, force it upon him. Like, you yeah. have, like, he doesn't want
to
watch
and
it.
And that was yeah. something no, that I wanted to ask this. You, Jeremy. How old is your child?
He'll be five. Okay. September 1st, he'll be five.
And do you notice that he is less into action figures than
100%.
Maybe we all
were?
Yeah.
But also, but they're he's not even cool. five yet. So that's only if you put into grasp when we really started banging on action figures.
Yeah.
I guess it was right around this time, right?
So, like, when we, or, this is the infancy of it. You would,
yeah,
you would
I would say
this.
It's from, like, but, 5 to 8.
From, yeah, I would say from 7 to 10 was probably the peak action figure years. You know what I mean? When
yeah.
you...
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
So the stuff that he watches, is he inundated
it's,
like we
it's
were?
No
with...
way. It's not even yeah. close. It's he has the whole fucking world at his fingertips now. Where we had only certain windows
but
when we could get our shit. You
I
know
feel
what I
like
mean?
It was yeah. better for us, like in terms of just like overall health of our mind, because
absolutely.
It promoted imagination,
absolutely,
and just like. Thinking, whereas everything is so literal now for a kid.
Well, now it's just so right there and then. Like, and so I get frustrated because he doesn't even let his imagination go. He'd be like, okay, next. Okay, boop, next.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
so
like
what are other people doing?
We had an entire week to think about, like, that Dungeons & Dragons cartoon or something on Saturday morning.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We had an entire week to think about right, the next right. episode, whereas yeah. he's like, now. Now,
yeah.
and if not, then it's something else. And if
right.
that, and if it's not, then something else.
Think
and it's
about
something else. And it's something else, and it's endless forever.
So like, what's my question would be like, what is the next generation of like creators gonna look like after we're dead? Which
I don't
know.
And
it's going to be
what's scary is because at least I have that drive to make him creative. You know,
yeah.
there's a lot of people. Oh no, man! They're raised by their tablets. Like, there's a
think
whole generation
about,
of kids.
It's gonna, well, it's gonna look like He-Man creators, where they're like, "Go, go, go! Next, 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 next!
Yeah, that's
claws,
just...
wheels, helmets, extending parts! Go, go, go!"
Like, it's tough. It's frustrating, is what it is for a parent that comes from the generation that we came from.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like every generation of parents
oh,
feels that
exactly.
way about like their kids.
Well,
but...
it's just like too when I go, "What the fuck are you watching?" And we watch Pee-wee's Playhouse, which is complete insanity.
Yeah,
like,
it's, that's
you know what I
that's
mean?
Like crystallized coke, like 100%
that's rocked,
raw. Yeah, just like here you go.
I think about things like Atari, for example, the old game Adventure, you were a little square, but like in your mind, you were a knight on a quest fighting dragons, even though they looked like ducks, and your sword, your great big sword was an arrow. And it's like we in our minds envision like such a rich world, whereas I think the current generation needs things so literal that like when you look at a lot of the like younger comic artists who are a lot of them younger than us now, the artwork is so good, but it's so literal. It's so posed and staged and it's not like that old Marvel
organic
way where it's
like.
Organic and dynamic like it used to be. And that might just be like a manifestation of everything being taken so fucking like literal now. There's no like imagination or interpretation anymore.
Not at all. And if kids have to start to create on their own, they get super he gets super frustrated because they expect everything should be easy.
To be instantly good.
It's instant
and it's
gratification.
Like,
instant gratification.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, bang. So, and like the two, like when we were kids, there was only certain. We had to pick maybe between 5 or 6 things. You know, now there's literally thousands of things for him. to pick.
And not just the things that are made for him right now in the now, but also the things that were made for you back in the day. The things that were made for our parents.
Absolutely.
That have been dredged up that he could choose from. You know, like, it's you not just competition with now. It's competition with all of
lifetime. Yeah. And it's not like there's a hot toy anymore like it used to be. You know what I mean? We're like, okay, the Ninja Turtle years, the He-Man years.
Right.
Now, like, there's not
it,
one set.
It's also what your friends are playing with that can influence it, too.
To me, it's what your parents played with. It's more this the more influence than anything now is, yeah, like, because you're trying to put, you know, I want to relive my youth through my son, of course. I mean, who yeah. fucking does? I mean, that's why you have kids, right? Like, I mean, I never wanted kids. I'm
yeah, I was
lie.
Like, you're talking to this is the wrong audience.
Well, I never wanted them. I didn't want them. I never did. You know yeah. what I mean? So, but now that I got the little fucker, it's like, all right, well, let's
regenerate my youth.
Let's try this. Yeah. And it's tough. Like, so like we started playing.
Do his little friends like have stuff that they like too?
Not
or
really.
No?
That's what I'm saying.
That's
everyone's so
crazy.
It's nuts.
Wow.
Like, it's not like, you know, there was
a
wave where like, all of us were playing with Ninja Turtles. Now, like, he's playing with Pokemon and his kids and his boys into something else and his other kids into something else. It's not like there's not a. It's because it's not like there's the same cartoon that they watch. They all watch whatever they want to watch.
They're not all collecting the same cards.
Yeah.
Well, there's no monoculture. And like, that's like when we talk about the monoculture in for adults, it's like, oh, we all don't watch Game of Thrones anymore. We all don't watch The Office anymore or whatever. That distills into the kids, and it's probably more harmful
it's
for the kids.
It's way worse for the kids than for us because we can ground ourselves from getting too out of hand, of watching too many things at once, even though we do fall into traps of it, but we will stop ourselves from getting too in-depth from too many things, where him, it's not like he's watching a full run of shit. Like, he's watching one episode of Pokemon, one episode of this, one episode of that. Like, so he's not even getting storylines. He's not even getting... You know what I mean? Sometimes.
I can't imagine.
It's
got
to,
like,
kill their ability to focus.
It's what I'm saying. Like, the amount of patience, which, I mean, no little kid has. I mean, let's be real. No, but I can see, to me, it's extremely worse because it's that now, he's just so used to everything now. Like, there's no loading times no more. There's no, like, he has Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and he can operate them seamlessly at 4.5 years old,
YouTube, everything is like,
oh no, on my TVs, we have five different TVs.
Have you considered throwing the TV in the pool to see how he reacts to that?
The old canals training, if you will.
Swim and get this bitch. Well, don't get me wrong, I threw him in the pool too. He can swim.
I'm glad to see the family tradition lives on.
If you want your Switch, you better fucking swim,
well,
motherfucker.
And that's another thing too. I just let him start playing the Switch, honestly, because all the kids, he watches other kids play video games. These kids nowadays watch other kids play with toys. They watch other kids play things and then don't want to do it themselves because they'd rather watch somebody else play with
it's
it.
So
it's
bizarre.
Fucking crazy.
I don't understand that. Like, he literally, like, that kid Ryan, the kid makes $8 million a year.
Wait, time out. You said it like we would know it.
Oh,
like,
what the fuck is Ryan?
I thought you knew who it was.
I swear to God, the kid's in fucking Walmart and shit. Like,
no,
he has
toothpaste
and shit now. Like, he's everywhere.
Ryan who?
A little Oriental kid named Ryan.
Ryan the toy player.
I'm serious.
No, I mean, like, no, I. We don't know. We don't know. But, like, that's... I want that job.
It's like, insane. It's all his parents do is, like, set him up awesome playrooms for him to play, and they videotape the shit.
This is fucking crazy, Jeremy.
You have to...
This
look
is...
Ryan
no,
it's the
no,
biggest
I
shit
believe
the
you.
Do
like,
not give him a view. Don't
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's insane. And, like, my little... But...
Does he play good?
Oh, it's
like,
not bad. I'm not gonna lie.
You know who was better back in the day than fucking Mark-ass Ryan? Jeremy Canals.
So maybe I have more problems with it because I played differently. Because
you're like, he stole my shit!
If Jeremy had been filmed, you don't think that shit would have got more
Jeremy
hits?
Jeremy would have been...
Yeah.
Adults
would have
watched Jeremy
wouldn't
be sitting in this basement with
adults
us now.
Adults would have definitely watched it because there was some... HBO shit going on in these movies.
Like, there's some Scarlet was getting that wax dripped on her.
Wax was used in many different scenes
to get that pussy hair off.
This was the 80s, dude.
Yeah.
Push to the belly
care
button.
That. Oh God, do I miss the 80s?
So I wanted to kind of shift a little bit into toys Oh, we never got into what we where we oh, stopped like, playing.
Yeah, yeah. When we, yeah, we didn't. We went and, off and on then, fucking
and
tangent.
Well, we talked about disappoint. Well, I did, Willow, and it was almost unanimous. Also, I still think, as much as I kind of liked the line for a while, the rubber wrestling toys, I still kind of wish that they had moved, but...
We also didn't touch on, like, when we ended our toy...
Playing. Right, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I ended my toy playing right around whenever Transformers Generation 2 came out. Mm-hmm.
So what year? What
that was like, that was pretty late. It was like 91. I was like 11, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so that's what what grade are we thinking? Like fifth, sixth grade?
Fifth, sixth grade. So okay. Right around there. So I was into comic books, so I had my Generation 2 Transformers, and I also had my Toy Biz, you mentioned it before, Matt, my Toy Biz Spider-Man with the suction cups on his hands.
Yep.
I had the Venom, the Eric Hulk, Larson style.
The Hulk with the hollow rock that he could crush.
I think I had Cyclops in his, he was white and blue with his X-Factor, and like I had all that stuff, and I was playing, and I just, and one day, it just got lame. And I was like, what? Like, I'm talking out loud. I'm saying this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, my mom can hear me. Like, this is fucking whack.
That was the movies was the end of it for me. Cause I was like, I'm thinking to myself, holy shit. Like, I'm really like looking around, like, I'm making full blown movies.
So, like,
myself with, like, if somebody was upstairs,
but it's all in
like,
your head, so no one would know.
Yeah, but I was talking out loud. I was
That's
talking
the thing.
This
like,
shit
I was
out.
Talking.
I mean, you can't do conversations. I mean, you can, but then you're a real fucking crazy person.
Like, I remember I had a set of, I remember another point where I was like, ugh, and it was a little bit
the
before
cringe book.
Yeah, it was late at night, and I had this real heavy ass Star Trek Next Generation Enterprise. It was made out of metal, and like, it was heavy as fuck. And I also had.
Well, your first problem is Star Trek toys.
Right. Yeah. Whatever. And I was playing some real...
The only good Star Trek toy was that Spock helmet with a police light on the top of it.
So it used to be, I know what you mean.
I had the next gen, and I had this this model kit Enterprise from the Wrath of Khan that I made.
I had a model Enterprise, like an actual
model,
not a toy.
It was a model, but I used it as a toy. So I had this model, and I was talking, and Picard, and Kirk, and fucking Steve VCR. I was like, hey, Kirk, calm down in there, because it was late. And I,
Steve VCR.
I was like, oh, this is... fucking stupid.
Steve VCR is Ian's dad for the uninitiated.
Yeah, and like a bigger star, like that nerd has has a Star Trek Captain Kirk seat cover in his current car, and he was the one in 1989
drop
being
the
like,
geekness down a little.
Yeah,
bit.
He was like, you need to chill. It's 10:30 at night.
He was
on Friday.
Like, he was like, Rita, we may have overdone it.
Well, my moment, I
hope Lai is a sensible dentist.
My moment was kind of the same way, and it was funny. It was because Ronnie Tatry, he's young, like we're a year apart in age, but he was 2 years difference in grades,
yeah.
You know, which when you're younger, that's like a big different thing, okay? But so we, like, he was one of my big, like, we played Ninja Turtles. That was like my Ninja Turtle homie. Me and Ronnie played Ninja Turtles together all the time. And Trisha, who was our age, is his sister. We're like a month apart. So Trisha. I was at Ronnie's playing. Me and Ronnie were playing Ninja Turtles. And I think we were like, what grade were me and you together?
Oh, this is a disaster.
Sixth grade.
We were in sixth grade.
Sixth grade it was. Because I remember Trisha coming downstairs. And me and Ronnie had everything set up. When we were fucking getting into some serious Ninja Turtles shit. And Trisha comes down the stairs and goes, oh my fucking God, Jeremy. Are you still playing with Ninja Turtles? And like, I remember looking up at her and being like, she was like my sister. I go, I'm like, fucking right I am. And then like, she went upstairs and I was like, oh my God, I'm still playing with fucking Ninja Turtles. Like, that was my
epiphany. Like, dude,
I'm going to go chase pussy now.
That fucking... that fucking that sucks was my so bad.
Time to stop playing, buddy. But that's when, man, I was still making movies in the basement and shit. But that, like, yeah, ended everything.
Yep, yep.
I didn't have a one moment like come to Jesus, stop playing. It was a gradual decrease of going over James Locker's house, and we get all the Ninja Turtles out. And at some point, like, it just wasn't. Like, what else? It was just like, well, what else? What else can we do today? Like, what else? You want to, like, go outside and toss a frisbee around, or like, what else? What else can we do? All of a sudden, it just got, like, not interesting.
Right.
It wasn't like, oh, I'm never gonna have sex, like in your case. Yeah, but turtles were the last thing.
Remember, he was 2 years younger, and I was his friend. So when Trisha would have sleepovers, Jeremy would sleep over too. And those girls, who could sleep with girls in the same house, the same age, were like in seventh grade. I had that thing going for me. So I'll take my little TMT little spat that I had, that I felt like a little piece of shit. But then I'm French kissing girls when they're sleeping.
Well, wait, hopefully not when they're sleeping.
Not when they're sleeping, but when everybody else is sleeping. Let me rephrase that. This is 2020. No.
When they're awake.
Wait, I'm sorry, Jeremy Weinstein. Awake. What were you doing?
They were awake. Everybody else was sleeping.
And they gave you consent, and then you kissed them.
Of course. That's how it went.
I immediately gave up Ninja Turtles for kissing for girls kissing while they're girls. Asleep.
Let me show you how I kiss Leonardo.
Yeah, this is how April O'Neil taught me how to kiss.
Oh, hold on. Donatello's not asleep yet.
For me, it was like Sharpley's, where it was very introspective, and I think it was kind of the same line, the Toy Biz Marvel figures. It just started feeling really stupid. Like, I feel like there was a specific time when I was sitting there playing with these toys, trying to come up with a storyline, and I was talking out loud, and I felt really, really stupid, almost embarrassed for myself, because I was just by myself. So that probably would have been seventh grade for me. Like, but then there was another, maybe it wasn't, maybe it was sixth or seventh grade. But then in like 92 or 93, Batman the Animated Series came out with a line of figures, and they looked exactly like the cartoon.
The cartoon
and
was awesome. I watched that cartoon the whole way through junior. Like, right? I didn't stop watching cartoons and shit.
Those figures were like the coolest looking figures that I ever saw, and I had to get them all, and I did. I got Batman, I got Joker, Riddler, everybody. And I don't even remember playing. That was kind of like the in-between time of playing with figures and collecting figures. Like, I might have kind of played with them, but even though it felt
stupid. What am I doing opening this?
Yeah, like, those
were
open.
You're buying two. One to
that
play
was,
with,
right,
one to keep.
That was
because
shortly
that's right
before,
in, like, collector, like, comic book collector speculator market mode.
Right,
for you.
Because Sharply, it was.
And also, too, that was the banging time of collecting, the early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Anything
yeah, yeah.
From baseball cards.
I think it was 93 when those
like,
things
that
came
was
out.
When everything would hit the peak, honestly. Yeah.
So let's say that was 93. In like 95 is when Power of the Force, the new line of Star Wars figures, came out. And I know I've told this story before, but I knew they were coming. I saw them, you know, featured in Wizard Magazine. But we didn't know exactly when. There was no internet, so we couldn't tell. You know what I did, Jeremy? You know how I found out when they came out? One summer, I literally called service merchandise on the phone every
Servers
fucking day. It was in the middle of the summer. I'd be like, did you get those Star Wars? They never had any idea what I was talking about. Because I feel like sometimes they'd be like, yeah, we got them. I was like, no. Not those bendy ones. I'm talking like real ones.
You know, the sexy ones. With
and
the muscles.
Eventually, right. And eventually, you know, they came out and I got those. And that was kind of the first step into collecting toys, which then a year later, McFarlane Toys. Actually, no, they weren't called McFarlane Toys.
They're Todd Toys.
They were called Todd Toys because Todd McFarlane of Spawn fame, Paul, couldn't come to an agreement with Mattel because Mattel was going to create Spawn toys, and the quality of standards like just weren't there, and so he decided to create his own toys, and they were nicer than the rest.
I like the alliteration of Todd Toys, but it also sounds like Jeremy kissing girls in their sleep.
Everybody else was asleep. I've eaten a lot of edibles. I missed that.
And then I got those Spawn toys. I'm sure you got those too, Ian.
Bendy ass Violator, original Spawn, and then Medieval Spawn.
There
was
four, right? There were four in
and
the
I didn't get the clown though.
Was hard to get.
I got, you know, and then I was like, I can't find him at this fucking Toys R Us. You know how I'm gonna get him? I'm just gonna work here. I'm just gonna camp out.
You had Spawn, Violator, Clown, and Medieval Spawn, I believe, in that initial. The initial Spawn line.
Didn't he start doing sports toys before that, or is it that before?
No. It was for a long time he was doing Spawn related stuff, and then he eventually got the
lineup.
The players from MLB, but not Major League Baseball's.
Right.
So he would make a Barry Bonds figure.
But it would say
it would be Bonds in the font, but not San Francisco. Okay.
Before he did that, what was the first licensed thing McFarlane did?
Was it Metal Gear? Was it that?
It was Kiss.
Kiss. Oh, yeah.
It was Kiss. And that was a big deal. That's actually what got me into Kiss. I wasn't familiar with the
McFarlane
music.
McFarlane toys,
Yeah. First one I got was the Spaceman, Ace Frehley. It was really cool. And they each came with a letter, you know, and you got all of them, and then that would spell out Kiss. But those were really fun. McFarlane toys had so many cool, toys.
It hit all the different spots. Like Jeremy was saying, it hit sports. So you could justify buying a toy because it was, I like LeBron, or
it was
back
unbelievable.
Then I like Nick Van Exel. I'll
it
buy
was
his
unbelievable,
figure.
Paul, the jump from starting lineup figures, which were basically Willow figures, to McFarlane toys with those incredible sculpts. The faces looked like the real people.
And that was before you had scanning and all the technology now.
It was better then than it is now. Things were more meticulously painted then. I think they really scaled back on the overall quality of these things.
Matt, I would say it's a similar thing. You brought it up earlier whenever you're talking about modern day artists, and some of them, not all of them, but some of them have a stiffness to it. When you scan somebody's face, there's a stiffness. There's not art to it. There's not a whimsy that you bring as an artist to that face whenever you just scan it in digitally.
So this is kind of a different thing, and maybe this is like walking down a different road, but Matt, you have a handful of those Star Wars statues, and they're not caricatures, but they're close.
The animated ones?
Yes, but they're close enough that they resemble the characters, and
I don't think they're caricatures at all. I think that they're they're totally stylized. Right.
They're considered animated.
Sure,
style.
But my point is I feel better looking at those than I do like the Black Label Luke Skywalker figure, where they try too hard to make it look like Mark Hamill or Harrison Ford, when like it does, but it hits that like
creepy.
What's the uncanny valley. Where I'm like, ooh, this is, I'd rather it just be like super like anime. Like it's almost too weird.
But like the Gentle Giant company that made like those Star Wars busts that are, I think they're scanned or maybe not, but I think they are so insanely accurate. Like I have a Darth Vader bust from Gentle Giant and it's amazing.
Darth Vader helmet is a lot different than Carrie Fisher at 19 years old.
Agreed. However, even those look incredible. Like if you Google Gentle Giant Star Wars busts, even the human faces are insanely accurate. Way more than an action figure.
Yeah.
But
so you think they look better than the Willow line from 88?
I mean, unfortunately.
Barely.
How much did come into play like, you don't count because you don't play video games, but, like, did video game playing come up to the part where that really stopped toy playing, too? Like, 93 hockey came out, and that kind of ended basically everything for a while for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there was a combination of, for me, there was a combination of, like, you know, girls. I think girls is the big one that, like, ends toy playing, right? For me, it was comic books, which kept some of my toy collecting alive, but comic books then turned spiraled into like, oh, well, like, I think I want to be this. I want to be a comic book artist. So the time spent creating worlds is no longer with plastic and it's with pencil and paper.
Well,
so
I mean, throughout this whole time, I drew like since I was a little kid, like,
yeah,
always. That's,
but
I
turned into like a maniac with drawing whenever I was like, oh, comic books are the thing that like I really, really like.
Ian, I think you and I were like on the exact same trajectory for that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, like that. That's how it turned. And honestly, like, Jeremy's like huge into Eric Larson. That's how we became friends.
Yeah, right, right.
Like the Revenge of the Sinister Six was like, I remember when that was coming out, me and Jeremy were in class together and like we were talking about it and talking about,
like,
Eric Larson.
We were just having, like,
and
walking past each other's desk and like I look down like, are you drawing? And I look at my desk like, I'm drawing. Are you? Did we just become fucking best friends?
And that's how
literally how it happened.
That's how we became friends, was over that in real time. The Revenge of the Sinister Six being released.
Yep.
And
yep.
I was like,
dude, I can remember walking about a mile and a half or so, or maybe 2 miles to the, maybe not two, mile and a half, to the bookstore that had a spinner rack. And I would pick up those issues. I must have been 11. 11-year-olds aren't allowed to walk that far
anywhere
by themselves.
Well, they wouldn't,
like,
to want
pick
to.
Not now.
Well, right. Not now.
Not but now.
Like,
but
think
we grew up in a time where, you know, we rode in the back of pickup trucks and shit. Like, you know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah.
I was on the parkway in the back of pickup trucks to baseball practice.
That's wild.
Yeah. I was in the back of a pickup truck when it crashed once.
Oh, how you doing? You're still here.
It's unbelievable that I'm still alive. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
That speaks to, like, dedication and fandom that I don't, like, I'm worried now when we talk about it and we think about it, like, where is that, like, dedicated fandom whenever all you need to really do to be a fan is pick up your phone and tweet some shit, but you're not walking to a comic book spinner rack to buy something with your lunch money.
I walk across Monroeville to get laid. Are you crazy? I walked from Pitcairn to Boys Campus to get laid.
Just because we're not walking 11 miles to get our media doesn't mean we don't love it just as much.
What's that?
Just because we're not walking 11 miles doesn't mean we don't love it just as much.
But it all started there, Paul. You know what I mean? Like, our fandom, our particular
started it doesn't, with the like, we weren't fans because we had to walk this extra mile. We were fans because we loved the work.
But doesn't ingrain it more into your psyche?
Yeah,
kind of
like you'll do anything to get it.
Like
nothing's
going to
stop you from getting there.
I remember the specific spinner rack that I went to. And maybe I'm an old man.
Right,
but like,
we don't have to do that
more
now.
To me.
Kids don't have to do that now. It doesn't exist.
Well, that's
it doesn't exist.
We
no
were
one
saying.
Has to walk
but kids don't
11
have to do
miles
it now, so it doesn't mean anything.
Get anywhere.
But all that shit meant something to us.
But I think you can still love what you love just as much. It's just in a different way. Because you need to walk longer to get it.
The voice of the millennials,
like,
ladies and gentlemen. That,
like, you still love what you love, even if you don't have to, you know, walk
maybe
2 miles uphill in the snow
know,
to get
though.
It.
I don't know.
Maybe some things, like, Paul. Like, for example, would you walk a mile and a half every week or whatever to watch certain shows that, you know, you just flip on?
Well, that's
DVR.
The only way you could watch it.
Right. If that was the only way
you
could watch it.
You had to walk a mile down the road to watch it on that screen.
You barely will pay $5 to fucking download an app, dude.
Probably now.
But in a culture where we don't have to do that, why would you do that?
But what we're saying in an old man style way, and we lived in the 90s way, is that I think that
it
ingrained more love into those things because you there was a sacrifice or there was something to pay
for. I don't know, man. I love that fucking Voltron Legendary Defender as much as I love anything, and I didn't have to go anywhere special for it. Like,
that's a bad example because...
It's not a bad example. It's something that I love currently, modern times, and I love it just as much as I love Star Wars.
I want you to rebut that. Go ahead.
Your love for it is based on... It is not entirely because of, but is the foundation is based on the nostalgia from a cartoon that you watched back in the ways and days that we watched cartoons, which was maybe it came
delivered
on Saturday.
Me. I never had to walk anywhere. I never had to do any extra work to get Voltron
Back.
It's
not the same as the spinner rack, but like you absolutely needed to be there on time to watch Voltron.
One of my first biggest toys was all the Voltron, the metal ones.
Your argument is we love this more because we had to work for it.
Some of it.
We didn't have to work.
You have to work to be there.
Any cartoon.
You had to be there on time. You had to be there on time, asshole.
You had to be there to watch it.
You had to be there on time.
There was no DVR. There was no VCR.
There's no YouTube. You're not going to pull it fucking up sometime.
So that's my thing.
And you're like, I love Legendary Defender. Yeah, it's based on a time whenever you had to actually fucking show up.
Oh, no.
You wouldn't have watched it.
I need to get up at 8 on a Saturday when I'm already going to be awake because I'm a kid and I don't sleep until 10 in the morning. Like, we didn't have to do shit. The reason we love
you could have been doing anything else, and you could have
TV.
And you also could have been watching any of the other channels and not had the opportunity to fucking tape it, dickhead.
We had
all those
channels in front of us, and we watched He-Man because we loved He-Man. We loved it because of what it was, not because we had to walk 11 miles to get it.
That's not why
we loved.
That's not what I
said.
I didn't say we loved it because we had to. It ingrained more of a love and more of a allegiance to those properties because we had to do a little bit more stuff for those things, be it be on time and watch TV. Yeah, oh, it's no big deal to wake up, but some kids sleep
in. Did you ever miss it and be fucking super pissed? Like, I remember missing it. Like having meltdowns on my parents and shit. Like, I can't believe we fucking, it's on at 9 o'clock.
You know why? Because it was gone.
And then
it
never
wasn't
seen
on,
it again.
Yeah.
Never seen it again.
I understand that, but I think that really undercuts current love, not just for younger generations' love of products, but our love of new products, of
That's
new
not where
series.
I'm going. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that maybe younger fans of things do not understand in the same way that we understand dedication to fandom.
Yeah, and we don't understand looking a Nazi in his eyes and killing him. But somehow we understand things better than our predecessors.
A couple of generations there. I would have said a Viet Cong.
I mean,
what about?
I mean, we could.
What are 333 episodes? First time Viet Cong has been mentioned.
That's another bad example. We could probably go outside and find a random Nazi running around.
Paul, what about like music, for example? Now it's at your fingertips. You can listen to whatever you want.
You don't have to go to the store and buy
it. But like, wasn't it more special when you bought it and you had the liner notes and
case.
you pull that out of your coat sleeve, but the you know what I mean, right? Like you would consume it differently. It meant more. You would absorb the music more than like through
Every
some kind of streaming platform, right?
Yes, absolutely. But
the other thing that we're talking about now.
No, yes, I absolutely get that, and I love the nostalgia for having a CD jacket, a fucking tape cassette fold out.
Instruction booklet.
But like that, because I had those things, like I don't love Aerosmith's Pump any more than I love Taylor Swift's Folklore. Just because
do because you don't like that album. So another bad fucking comparison.
Okay. I don't love Aerosmith's Pump any more than I love All American Rejects, Kids in the Street.
Did you pour over it in the same manner that you over Pump?
I don't
Pump?
Have to.
I probably
because,
had a jacket that was this long.
Because what's most important about it is the music.
But
and it's the same. No, it's the same with with He-Man and the figures in the cartoon.
How did we get into this argument?
Like, it's
because he walked to get the Sinister Six,
and it was
that's all. It was an affront to
you should have hovered.
It was an affront to Paul's fandom because he didn't actually walk to get anything similar.
That's how it started.
Matt had to walk to a spinner rack to buy the Revenge of the Sinister Six.
Walking beats streaming.
The content of the product is what's most important. Whether it gets delivered at my time of convenience or whether I have to make a special trip up to the Phantom to pick it up. I get Nailbiter. I love the Nailbiter comic book. I have to make a special trip to the Phantom to get it. It's not walking 11 miles, but I still have to make that trip.
I love that this is the hill he's dying on.
But what I'm saying is, like, I love that book. That's the only way I get to read Nailbiter is going to get it because I'm a paper guy. I won't get Nailbiter digitally. I've collected
the
first.
But you can, though. And that's...
Right? But I've collected the first run of it. But it's still about the content.
We're not...
It's not about the work I have to do to get there.
That's not what I'm saying.
But none of you can like be like, here's what Ian's really saying. Like, you're making it more about how we digest it than what we're digesting.
No. We were saying that is it more...
I think we digested it more than we do. I think we take for granted a lot of things today is what's going on, is what I'm at. Is that it's easy to be a fandom for the things that you're a fandom to, but the things that we became fandoms to, we had to literally put work into at the beginning of
there,
it.
There was more
like,
to
so you
it.
Had more time to think about while you're walking 11 miles to the spinner rack, and you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and as you say that now, like that, like
that's
it comes,
where I'm
it comes,
getting. So that's
it
what
comes
builds,
a little more.
I also feel like that also
it.
Was said at some point, but you could ever know.
But I didn't think of it in these terms until right now because none of you have said
it. Because Jeremy said it and Ian didn't say it.
Well,
so,
no, because like this is the first time I thought about it. Is that how Ian? You always say I don't want a TV series drop. I like one day a week for it to come out because it gives you time
you
to process
suspense.
It.
You
it gives you time to think about
story.
It. And that's nothing nice. That you've brought to my table in the last 10 minutes. And Jeremy didn't even bring it either. He said something on accident that made me think about this.
Oops.
So in the sense of...
Welcome to the Battle Dome of,
in the sense
of like...
That...
It was happy nostalgia up until Paul wanted to fucking fight about absolutely nothing. Do we
you
wanna...
fucking started this.
Revenge of the Sinister Six.
You started this.
They should make it a movie.
I was like, hey, Jer.
I'll end on that.
I was like, hey, Jer, do you remember when we became friends? And Paul's like, fuck you!
And then
you're
and
not
then,
fucking
And then
friends.
At some point, Ian was like, how dare you? How dare you like media at your fingertips? You need to work for media. You need to break your fingernails to get to media.
All right.
I was like, whoa. Let's talk about how we all process this. And Ian's like, fuck you!
So did anybody like the Care Bears?
All right, so let's.
I did like.
We're,
the
we're gonna go. We're gonna.
I didn't like Strawberry Shortcake though.
No. We're gonna wrap this up with, like, what is your most random toy, and then we're gonna get out of here, rapid fire. Paul, what's your most random toy that you really liked? We were talking about Care Bears, Strawberry Shortcake.
That fucking Max Robot thing that you put up on Twitter
or
something.
I love that shit.
I don't even know if that was the right. His name was Max M-A-X-X, but it was part of some. Like weird, like robots. They had suction cups.
I remember those.
For their hands
yeah.
And
I remember
their
the day
and shit.
I remember like, yeah. The day that I walked to Children's Palace to buy that.
I remember the day that I bought it from Amazon and had it later that evening.
Matt, we'll hit you. We'll hit me, and then we'll hit our guest of honor.
Well, one of the things I didn't get to talk about, and this was big when I was
buckle up, everyone.
When I was 9 years old, because. One of the few videotapes that's out there of me as a child, my 9th birthday party at Conley's Water Slide, was when I got Boglins for my birthday. Boglins are one of my favorites. I don't remember playing with them much, but I fucking loved having them. You know, you'd put it on your hand for a few minutes and look at, you know.
And they came in that, like, cage?
It came in the cardboard cage with the plastic bars that were kind of bent. My first one was,
it was
I believe,
like around My Pet Monster times.
Yeah.
Way cooler
Everything
than My
was
Pet
Monster.
Monster
around those times.
Yes,
monster
it was.
Balls.
Right. Mad Ball.
Madballs.
Oh, I love Madballs.
But yes, yeah, that was kind of the thing. But the Boglins were way cooler because they were like a little scarier looking. I think they were trying to capitalize like on shit like Ghoulies or whatever. Mm-hmm. But my first one was, I think, Drool. And then there
I had Drool. It was blue. Is that right? Or no?
I thought Drool was the female one without the antennas. But anyway, Boglins for me. That was a really, really fun toy there for a while.
I liked this really weird and really stupid stuff called Manglores. Do you guys remember Manglores? They were...
Not even a little bit.
Okay. So they were these toys that were... They were like sort of Stretch Armstrong-style monster toys that they were... You were told you could... Like stretch them apart.
I had these. They were faceless monsters.
They were kind of terrible because you were supposed to be able to rip the Manglores apart and put them back together, and they would like you know still function. But you couldn't do that because you can't do that.
Yeah.
Right? But
you've changed physics with these toys.
I don't know if I remember.
So
those.
I had Manglore Mountain that had this dude, and you put him in this fucking bubble of shit. And you put him in this like cage, and the artwork was just like some horror bullshit.
It looks like death metal covers.
Right, like Mangler's my favorite fucking
Or like some
band.
Kind of fantasy like sex.
Yeah, it looks like Frank Frazetta kind of horror stuff.
That's
who I was. So like I really liked this aesthetic and like the idea behind it, but the actual toys were bullshit. You couldn't put Mangler's back together. So that was mine. Jeremy,
Do you remember Muscle Men?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I don't accept this as your most obscure thing.
Of course you wouldn't.
Everyone
had
fucking Muscle Men.
Obscure. There was no color. They were just like peach.
That's,
nothing.
There was no
cartoon.
That's what made them
there was
fucking
nothing.
Awesome. Muscle Men were the fucking
package.
Coolest.
And then I became obsessed with them. Like, obsessed.
How many Muscle Men did you have?
Oh, hundreds of them. Multiples.
Really? Hundreds?
I had so many.
I'm in the Jeremy camp. I had hundreds.
I mean, the original pack had like 40 in it. I remember the pack.
Yeah,
they were all in there. But then they made all... They started making different color ones.
Remember they came in the little garbage can? Yep. You get 10 in a
I
pack?
I remember the
Or you could
can.
Get a 4-pack.
I think I had like a garbage can of Muscle Men.
There was also
and
a 4-pack.
They fought Battle Beast. They lost all the time.
that's a good matchup.
Like, they were completely, like... So cheesy. Like, there wasn't much detail in them.
No. The detail was good. Like, each little muscle figure had his own personality.
So unique.
His own sculpt. They were all fucking unique. You'd get a guy that
little,
was made
little
it.
Little pink
was a
generic.
Tree,
yeah,
and then you'd get just
no
like
color.
A wrestler. And then there'd be like a cookie guy.
Did you,
just so
Jeremy,
blah.
Did you have the wrestling ring?
I did not have the ring, no.
I had the ring.
Yeah.
I had the ring. Muscles were cool, man. They were fucking awesome.
But that was compared to every other one of my toys that were like detailed and like then like the shit that I play with all the time. Like my mom would spend all this money on this shit and I'd be playing with these little fucking pink guys.
They were like the army men of our generation.
Basically.
They were slightly more articulate than a Willow figure.
That's nuts too. They were. But there was so many kids that didn't play with them too. Like that's why I said they were my obscure one. They'd be like,
yeah.
You could almost trade them and shit.
Like, you know.
I was out when they started making different colors. Then they didn't. Yeah, it wasn't OG anymore.
You're right. When, like I said, once they started making the different colors, it was like, all right, now I'm gonna. They made them like in.
I don't remember.
Well, they made them like a hard. Like those were like rubberish. You know. Like,
yeah, they were more like hot pink and green ones.
Yeah, like they started hitting
red.
Like those 90s colors. All solid,
I mean, it was Teo's like Charlotte Hornets, fucking Muscle Men.
basically, yeah. But that was my obscure, and I was a Light Bright kid. I played a lot of Light Bright.
Oh, I love Light Bright.
A lot of
Light Bright was fun.
I mean, Light Bright deep.
I mean, Light Bright like 10
years
old movies.
I mean, I do some in-depth Light Bright, but I do all my own. I wouldn't use the patterns.
Why didn't you take any video or
because
pictures
they didn't fucking have video. I don't have a video camera.
You would be the biggest YouTube star. You know Jeremy?
he took the video, but it's all in his brain. That's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks for sticking around with us for an extended toy talk. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Matt Cassell.
And special guest,
Jeremy Canals. Thank you, guys.
We will see you next time.